Welcome to the Casual Convo Podcast. I'm your host, Nasika. Join me for casual convos with special co-host guests. Without overthinking or overplanning, we casually explore our thoughts, personal experiences, and spiritual journeys across a range of random topics. Plus, at the end of each episode, I'll pose a few thought-provoking questions, just a little food for thought to keep the conversation going. So, today is an amazing day. It's the Sabbath, so all praises to the Most High for that. And joining us in this amazing casual convo is a child of the Most High God. Amazing because God uniquely created him, and that in itself is truly one of a kind. There is no one in the world like this person. So without further ado, let's get this casual combo started. Trado! My nephew, my blood, my heart, my everything. I love this man right here. And I have to, you know, do it right with a round of applause. Okay.
What's up, Auntie?
What up, though, Trado? How you feeling now on this Sabbath?
I'm feeling good. Happy Sabbath. Shabbat Shalom.
Yeah, Shabbat Shalom, nephew. So, yeah, we decided to come together on the Sabbath and have a real deep, most needed conversation. Just as a reminder, you know, that living in this world could be tough, but we got to be reminded that we're not of this world, right? So, what do you think about that? Just that sentence alone.
Oh, we can't have that. Not right now on the podcast. Here you go, nephew.
Being in the world, but not of the world, you know, there's certain things that we have to learn to deal with, learn to navigate with. And understanding that, you know, certain things that we do have to deal with, we can't let dictate our actions, our behaviors, our thoughts, and let it, you know, overwhelm us in a way. You know what I'm saying?
No, absolutely, absolutely. Living in the world, but we're not of it. You know, I think it's just a powerful concept in itself. And it really helps us bring forth our true identity and who we are and who we belong to. So that was a great, great points that you just, you know, stated there. And I really think this topic is so important because of society, how there's so many distractions around us and we can kind of really just blend in quite easily and get caught up and not even realize it while we're in the moment till we slap ourselves in the face, like, well, hold on now. I got to be, you know, doing the Father's will. So, again, it's a reminder that while we live our daily lives here on this earth, our ultimate goal is to keep the Father's will. Like, his kingdom needs to be done through our fleshly vessels. So, it's about balancing, you know? So, now, Let's start defining what it means truly, like, for you in your personal life, what it means not to be of this world. Like, let me see if you could give me a breakdown, if you will.
For me, not being of this world basically is, you know, not getting too caught up in, you know, the hustle and bustle of, like, you know, everyday life. Understanding that, you know, everything that we're working towards right now on this earth is pretty much temporary, and not to let, you know, materialistic things and vanity take hold of you. You know what I mean? That's pretty much it. Understanding that, you know, there's, you know, greater things stored up for us in heaven, in the kingdom, and that everything that we're going through right now is pretty much temporary, and not to get too attached to things. pretty much that's it, you know, not get attached to things, and relationships and people and experiences are more important than that.
Right. So would you say you have a lot of meaningful relationships right now currently in your life?
Yeah, for sure. I try to keep it to a minimum, you know. I don't feel like, you know, having too many people around you, that's unnecessary, that's not adding anything to your life, that's not making you better. You know, if they're not adding to me, or, you know, my lifestyle, if they're not teaching me anything, then those things I like to keep to a minimum. But for the most part, the people that I do have around me, I feel like they add to me, they bring life to me, they teach me things, they help me see, you know, things in a better light, for lack of a way of saying that, you know?
Mm-hmm. So now, you a young man, you're not married, you don't have any kids. How is it in the dating world with that? Was that a roll of the eye there? How do you manage being a young, handsome, might I add, young man in the world with the opposite sex, and just even getting to know someone, knowing you're not of this world? Like, you are, your price is like unfathomable what you're worth. So how does that work for you, honestly?
Man, I ain't gonna lie. I just focus on me. I try to make, you know, I do what's best for me. I try to become the best version of myself, and I let God handle the rest, you know. That person, if, when it's time, if they the right one for me, God will send that person to me. I ain't forcing nothing. I ain't chasing nobody. I'm just focused on, you know what I'm saying, myself right now.
So do you feel like, do you have friendships, or do you feel like when you do have, you know, potential friendships or in conversations with these, you know, women or friends or whatever, well, keep on the focus on women. Like, do you bring up the topic of God when you're with them? Or do you think it's too much and you just try to keep it more simple because you don't want to possibly, I don't know, turn somebody away? Like, how do you, you know, fit God in there? Because you know how they say we're supposed to be that light. The Bible says we're supposed to be that light. So how do we know if we're doing too much or not enough when we're around these people? You know?
Yeah, always. I always bring it up, but I don't bring it up right off the rip. You know, I try to, like, just get to know them first, talk to them, see what their mentality is, where their head is at. And then eventually, you know, I'll bring it up. I'll ask them certain questions, like, do they believe in God? Do they believe in the Bible? What's their thoughts on this? What's their thoughts on that? Before it gets too serious, because I don't want to wait too late. You know what I'm saying? Because if we have different opposing views on that, then it's obviously not going to work out. But I don't jump right into it off the rip. You know, I just try to see what type of person they are and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, for me, I guess defining what it means to not be of this world means living according to God's principles and his values to the best of my ability. Even when it may conflict with the world or the world standards. Because for me, when I meet a gentleman or, you know, trying to get to know them, I always bring up God. Like, and not like in a pesky way, but whatever conversation we're having, it's like easy for me to kind of just bring up, like, so what do you think, or how do you move with this or that with God in the middle of it? But if I feel like you said, if they're not really on it, or they're like lukewarm, or they kind of just blow with the wind, wherever the wind blows, they go that way. Like, I don't know. I just kind of keep it real, just simple, you know, keep it friendly, but I don't really dismiss somebody unless they talking some real nonsense, like, or they're acting ignorant in such ways that I just cannot deal with. But for the most part, I've been meeting a lot of really cool people and keeping them pretty much in the friend zone because I haven't come across my husband. I think I would really know if my husband was to approach me for real, according to God's, like, word, I would really know instead of justifying it like I've done in the past and trying to say, well, I can help or I can fix this, you know? Because I feel like that's what I would most likely do back in the day, but now, not so much anymore. Like, I can't afford that because I know my worth as well, you know? Like, I'm just too good to be settling out here. But like the Bible says, if you could read this, which is Colossians 3:2, please. What does that say there?
Set your affection on things above, not on things on earth.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about when you set your mind on things above? Like, what comes to mind?
You know, trying to, you know, seek God's love, you know, his approval in a sense. You know, seeking things that are good in his eyes, you know what I mean? And that's like I said, when I'm meeting people, when I'm meeting women, I try to just focus on who they are, their character, their behaviors, because some people, they may not be, you know, all the way into it the way I am. They may not know as much as I do, but they might still have, you know, in the back of their head, they're open to it. So if I feel like their character is right and their mentality is right, they probably be open to hearing what I got to say about it and learning more and growing in that relationship with God, you know, growing their relationship with God. So as long as that's all there, that's all right, then, you know, you might be able to bring new people, you know, to the Most High. You know what I'm saying? Like, you never know how things might play out. So in that regard, I try to have an open mind, knowing that, you know, everybody isn't on the same path that I am. They're not on the same walk that I am. They haven't had the same experiences I've had. They haven't, you know, they don't know all the same truths that I know. So if I can help somebody in that regard, a blessing. So setting your affection on things above, that's one of those things, bringing more souls, more people to the Most High. Like, that's something that's good in his sight.
That was deep. Truth speak over here. You know, when I think of that scripture, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, I think of the mansions that's promised to us. I think about our new bodies that we're going to receive. I think about his promises that he has for us, you know, like all the things that I can't even fathom, like how our face is to shine bright as the sun, the no sympathy for none of these things in the world, no care, we'll be completely free. Like, that fills up my spirit. It's filling up my spirit right now just saying that and thinking that. It's just like, that keeps me grounded so much. It keeps me grounded so much to know, like, I hope I end up in heaven talking to angels, teleporting to wherever I want, all types of stuff, just eating good. The air smells like fresher than I can't even imagine. Like, everything is just 10 times more amazing. So that's how I look at it too. It's just about, you know, living a life that reflects our faith, like you're saying, and being a light in the world. So that in itself is a beautiful thing. It's a privilege to be chosen and to have this truth, and to walk in it is truly wise. It's pure wisdom. But what are some challenges you faced trying to live out this principle in your daily life?
same challenges that, you know, pretty much anybody else will go through. You know, even though we strive not to be of this world, sometimes you still get caught up in certain things, you know.
You think there's a lot of peer pressure for you?
I wouldn't say peer pressure, but it's kind of hard to kick old habits, I would say.
Why do you think it's so hard to kick these old habits?
Because I feel like when you've been living a certain way for so long, and then one day you just wake up and say that, you know, you want to start living different, you want to stop doing this, you want to stop doing that. You know, human beings, you know, we're creatures of repetition. So when you're repeating something for so many years, it's hard to just get out of that routine. You know what I mean? So sometimes you face pushback from yourself. Sometimes you forget, you know. So honestly, I would just sum it up to that, you know, just trying to fight my own flesh at times.
Yeah. What's been like the hardest habit to kick, old habit that kind of always tries to come back and bring you back down to the pits of hell, if you will? What do you think that is?
Off the top of my head, I'm not really sure. That's a deep question. I'm gonna have to meditate on that one. I'm gonna have to think about that.
Okay. Yeah, for me, I think it's procrastination. Like, it's like I know what I gotta do, but the fact that I don't put my all behind it, whether I'm don't want to do it or not, I feel like that tries to consume me, and I feel like that's a disrespect to the gift that God's given me, and I feel like that's like such a sin in a sense, you know. To me, that's how it feels, because it's like I'm honored, but then I'm like lenient at times. Like, how could I? How dare I? You know? So I just feel like being just procrastinating, knowing that I could be using my time more wisely. You know, that's what I battle with most times. And I just think that's just been like for me back in the day, like I would always just do whatever I wanted to the best of my ability, whatever I thought was cool, and I would just do it. But now, knowing the principles and the ways of the Most High and telling myself to just like to change that completely is very hard. So I definitely keep praying without ceasing, and it's getting lighter, like the energy, like it's getting easier. So I think it's more just believing in myself that I'm not that old person. Like, I died to that person. That person is left in the water when I was baptized. Like, that is not me. So this is the real me, and I'm just being introduced to the new me every more and more every day, and I'm excited about it, you know. So yeah, I think staying grounded, right, is very important. And being said, like, being grounded in faith, if you will, because, you know, with all the distractions and temptations around us, it requires, like I said, constant prayer, but also reading of the word and just surrounding ourselves with like-minded people. That's why I love, like, really, truly being around you. And I'm always excited to be with you, because you're my tribe. You know what I'm saying? And it just always reminds me of how it's a little piece of heaven here on this earth when we get together and we're able to do things like this and just work out. And that just makes my day. So, I don't know, let's talk about some practical ways we can stay focused while living in this world. I guess I named a few already. What is your ideas?
Top two things I would say is, you know, staying in your Bible, reading your Bible. And second is staying around people who are like-minded, who are on the same path that you're on, who has the same, you know, goals and aspirations as you. You know, what is it? You want to be around people who are equally yoked, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Now, seriously though, how has working out, like, you know, exercising, how's that been really helping you on your walk?
It's been keeping me more disciplined, you know, working out even on the days when I don't feel like working out, going to the gym when I don't feel like going to the gym. It's preparing me to do things that I don't want to do, even though I know I have to do them, which is very important. Having discipline is big, it's major, especially if, you know, for a man. Having discipline as a man, that's a key thing in being a man. It's definitely increased my confidence in myself, making me feel better, you know, just about my well-being, my mental health. It's been doing a lot for me. So I encourage everybody, if they're not working out, to work out, hit the gym. Even if you got to work out at home, do some calisthenics, eat right, change your diet. You know, I got the green juice over there. So, yeah.
Right. You know, it's so interesting. Like, what just popped into my mind now is, like, how... And I'm sure everybody could relate to this. If you're a chosen one in your family, the only one for the most part doing right, you know, trying to stay consistent in your prayer, you know, reading the word, exercising, eating right, does your environment mess with you? Like, if you see people around you who are doing the opposite, like, truly, they doing the whole opposite. They eating trash. They not taking care of themselves. They got addictions. They got all these things going on. Does that kind of get in the way, you think, in the long term of it all? And if so, like, how do you think you stay, again, grounded in the faith with that environment?
For me personally, I look at that like as more motivation to keep doing what I'm doing, because I see, you know, how my life is progressing, how I feel, and then I look at those people and how their life is not progressing in the best of ways. And I just look at that as motivation, honestly. You know, it's reassurance that I'm doing the right thing for me.
For me, definitely I agree with that. However, it does get me really sad sometimes. Like, I get sad because I feel like I'm in a room with all these people around me, and I'm screaming and nobody hears me, you know? So I kind of feel like unheard, and it makes me sad because I love the people around me and I just want them to grow. And I know I've been that person in the past where I wasn't doing right and all of that. So everybody needs to take their time. But it is hard to endure when God gives you eyes to see and ears to hear, and then to also be patient with not only myself with my own battles, but then other people that I love and care about very much. So sometimes it slows me down just a little bit, but I'm learning, like you said, more and more. Let that motivate me to just do what I can, be a light regardless, and just keep striving and praying for them. Praying for them that they hopefully one day have God's grace and mercy to wake up and be able to change, so they can hopefully feel the change and feel the difference and how good it really feels to just do the right thing. And I'm not saying it's not hard. It's mad hard. Like, wouldn't you agree? Like, it's hard doing the right thing.
Yeah, if it was easy, then nobody be doing it.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. It's not easy doing this, but it's a way of life, and it's more of a connection to God, because when we really, really break it down, if we're eating foods that have no life in it, if it comes in a box, it comes in a bag, it's no good. So we're eating death anyway, because it's not fueling our body with life. And then we think about the foods that God puts on this earth, you know, like literally that grows from the earth. Watermelon, you know, greens, vegetables, whatever, cabbage, whatever it may be. These things are seeds. These things are herbs. This is life. And we eating it in its most pure state. That fuels our body. It fuels our mind. And if we're eating that way, and then we taking care of our body, it all works together for the greater good, for us to be, like, beasts, but godly beasts, you know what I mean? Like, in a great and amazing way. But I think sometimes when we're consuming all the bad, like what we eating, what we watching, what we, you know, procrastinating on, like, you know, we just consume with bad. Like, it, you're not reading your words, you're not praying, like, you're gonna be sucked in so hard that you can't come out of it because you don't have enough goodness, you don't have enough God, you don't have enough to get pulled out of the trance that you're in. And that really starts with food and moving your body and just meditating on the things that are above and not on this, not and what's not in this world. Like, literally, this, isn't that crazy? And the government and all of that, they literally push the devil's tactics. Like, it's insane.
Well, you know, the world is pretty much governed by the devil, which is, you know, makes it difficult to navigate through this world. But, you know, it's a necessary evil, I should say, because when you realize all these things, you realize more and more how much we all, you know, need God. So if these things weren't the way it was, people wouldn't be seeking righteousness, they wouldn't be seeking things that are good, they wouldn't be seeking truth.
Yeah, you're definitely right, nephew. So, yeah, this is another scripture that I wanted to, like, read, if you don't mind. It's John 17:16. Let's go there. John. Here we go. 17. Yeah. Can you read that?
17:16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
You see, Christ always says it best. It is so simple. Like, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So we can't get caught up in the world, and we can't even, that means we're getting caught up with feeling, you know, too, like, we feel bad for people, but don't let it consume us. Like, we can't let what people going through get us so upset or get us, you know, off track, because somebody's that's doing bad, they can offer you what's bad too. Like, yeah, just, you know, you live a little bit, you never do this and that. Like, nah, I got a regimen I gotta keep, you know, because that's a whole nother thing. Seeing somebody doing something, it's so easy to just be like, I deserve this, I think I earned this. But we already know what that is, you know, we've done it for so long, what's the point of dabbling back into something we already know the outcome? You know what I mean? If we're really trying to advance and get to this next level, we got to do it longer than the bad that we've done, you know. I just think that just makes the most sense. If we can't go hard doing the righteous and holy thing longer than we've been bad, then we definitely still have lots of work to do. So, with that being said, when's the last person you talked to and kind of pointed out a flaw, if you have? I'm not sure if you've done that, but did you point out a flaw and try to at least bring up the conversation to them? Or do you think that's kind of like not your place, or it's kind of hard to do that without offending someone?
Honestly, I can't think of the last time that I've done that, but on that topic in general, depending on who the person is, then, you know, it's definitely something that you can point out to them. If I was to do that, I would just do it, you know, just one time, you know, and that's up to them to deal with that, you know what I mean? I don't feel like it's my responsibility to deal with other people's internal issues. That's between them and God. I can notice it, I can point it out to them, but beyond that, you know, I don't feel like that's my place.
So, I think overall, like, this topic is a true reminder that we're all on a journey, and we should just give ourselves grace as we navigate these challenges of living in the world while staying true to our faith regardless. Like, standing 10 toes down, don't matter what anybody else is doing. This is the life that we chose. This is the life that we live. And we're going to live it for the Most High to the best of our ability. And we're going to look good doing it and feel good doing it. Because I don't know if everybody else noticed or not, but we living in some crazy times. Did you see the debate with the presidents?
Yeah, I seen it.
What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts is that, you know, I'm not voting. that's my thoughts on that. I'm not voting. You know, for a while, I've stopped believing and trusting in, you know, politics and how that all plays out. So I'm just enjoying the show, honestly, because that's what it is right now. It's a show. It's not even, I can't even take it serious for real.
What do you say to somebody who goes, well, you know, our ancestors fought for us to vote. How you not gonna vote? Like, you gotta vote. Like, we couldn't vote at one point. Now you just gonna let the vote go to Joe or Trump? Like, what's going on?
I would say that respectfully. let me get my words right before I just say something. I would say that, you know, respectfully, that this country does not really, I want to say, belong to us, but we're not really wanted here. So what is the point of voting for a system that doesn't want us here? You know what I'm saying? And I know the ancestors, they fought for that right, but I mean, years later, how, where has that really gotten us? It hasn't gotten us anything. It hasn't gotten us anywhere. So just because something happened in the past doesn't mean we should continue that tradition or continue that same thought process now in the future when we've seen that it hasn't done us any good. You know, I'm sure our ancestors, they had high hopes, but high hopes can only get you but so far.
What gets you farther than the high hopes, nephew?
Put your vote on God.
That's what I say. Facts.
Vote God. Your faith in God. Stop putting your faith in humans. You know, like, humans are imperfect beings. We have the, you know, we should strive to be perfect, but as we see in the world, you know, put your faith in God, man. That's all I can say.
I vote for God. I vote for Christ. Yeah. That's it. Yeah, man, that's the truth. I vote. That's what I say to people. I'm like, I vote for Christ. When's the last time you read your Bible?
Regardless who's president, like, whatever's meant to happen is going to happen. Like, prophecy is going to fulfill itself. So it's really, you're not changing nothing, because everything that the Bible said was going to happen is going to happen. No matter who's the president, you're not going to stop that. So it's like, no point.
Facts. I agree. So, with that being said, do you have any questions for me? Did you ever want to ask your aunt any questions? I'm just curious. Anything that ever comes to your mind?
You got me on the spot.
I love putting you on the spot. It's so much fun. Okay, so now, anyway, I always do this thing, right, where I ask all my guests thought-provoking questions. 5 questions, okay? Now, if you think I'm putting you on the spot, you're on the spot. The spotlight is on you right now, okay? So you're going to have to really think about these questions. Are you ready? Now, what aspect of your life do you think God is most interested in improving, and why?
Honestly, I would say interested in improving, I'll probably just say, like, my habits, you know, like we spoke to earlier. You know, I still have some bad habits that I'm trying to kick and get rid of. So I would think that would be the thing, because if, you know, when I'm able to do that, it'll just make me a better man, a better person, you know, better servant to God. So I would say that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Number two, if you could ask God one question and receive an immediate answer, what would it be?
When is he coming back?
Okay, I like that. When is he coming back? Three, what do you think happens after we die?
Well, based on the scriptures that I've read, that, you know, there's a place called Sheol, which is basically hell, where God keeps all the souls of the dead, whether you were righteous or wicked. The wicked gets, you know, they get tortured, and the righteous, they're protected by angels, and we await judgment day, you know, because a lot of people think that when you die, you either immediately go to hell or you immediately go to heaven, but that's for judgment day, and judgment day hasn't happened yet. So your soul can't be judged. You can't go to heaven if judgment day hasn't happened yet. So I think, you know, there's God has a place that he keeps all the souls that, you know, are waiting for judgment day.
That's kind of insane how, like, if you're waiting in torment and then you're waiting for judgment, that and that's kind of like just long suffering in itself from the moment you die, if you go to torments. That's kind of nuts.
Yeah, that's why you gotta live wisely while you're here on this earth.
Yes. All right, number four, what life experience has most strengthened your faith?
I would say dealing with loss, you know, losing close friends and family makes you change your perspective on life, and, you know, makes you question why you're still here, they're not still here. So I would say that.
That's deep. All right, last question. Five. Where do you hope to be in the next 5 years?
I can't really say in a physical sense where I would want to be, but in the mental sense, I would just want to be, you know, at peace, honestly, like just with my life, with the decisions I'm making at that time, at peace with my relationships, you know, in good health, in good spirits, living my purpose, you know, that's what I would say.
All praises to the Most High, nephew. You're amazing. You're like a light that cannot be put out. And your light makes me shine brighter every time. You're always in my heart. And I know Uncle Tony and my brother's birthday is tomorrow. So we could celebrate, do a little something. Maybe go to the gravesite, if you will. And I just want to, you know, say a big, big happy birthday to my bro. And I want to just ask the Most High to continue to have him in perfect peace, surrounded by angels, and continue to give him the strength to endure and his spirit to be at peace and just to be free in the spirit and in truth. Let the Holy Spirit be with him as we continue to work hard and uplift each other. Because he's a part of our bloodline, he's a part of our heart, and that's going to keep us also in tune with just helping more of our brothers and sisters out here to, you know, get closer to God, and again, to hopefully end up in a place of peace in the future. So I just wanted to say that. And also, I'm putting you on the spot again. Think you could rap us out a little something, just a little, like a little something, just like something, just like even a short and sweet something? Because my nephew, y'all don't know, he got wise words. And I just wanted to know if he could bless the mic for, like, even if it was two sentences that rhymes, like, could we get that? Or is that too much? He's gonna do it. I love him. So yeah, I am so glad you guys are gonna actually hear this on the Casual Convo podcast. A little truth speaking. And yeah, I hope everyone's having an amazing day. And the Sabbath, you know, take this all in. Take it in. Study to show thyself approved. Love on your Father. Your Heavenly Father is here for you. In the name of Yeshua, our Christ, Lord, and Savior. Nephew, you got some?
Yeah, I got you. I mean,
Acapella.
I'ma keep winning Salah. I got the knowledge, got the wisdom, I be reading Sirach. I got the power, turn my back to the world like I'm Lot. Don't be a coward, I made myself clean without a blemish or spot. The final hour is upon us, the revelation sweet but sour. I hear Lucifer talking, but God's voice louder. A man of God, but not a perfect man. But I ain't worried though, cause I know God got a perfect plan. Mercy be upon us, upon this rock. I built my faith to these words I ponder. When the world went wicked, I went over yonder. When they looked to the stars, I went looking for Yahshua. They was reading horoscopes, I read the Apocrypha. Heavenly Father, I've been calling ya. Mercy be upon my head. I should probably be dead for all the sins that lay in my bed. How could I thank ya? God is love, but no, God is gangster. God is in wartime, God is in prayer.
Yeah! Yo, that's my nephew. Y'all can't even cry. Yeah! It's beautiful. I love it. So, yes, with that being said, thank you all for tuning in. Nephew, thank you so much for casually talking with me today.
Thank you for having me. Glad I can, you know, come in here, have this talk with you. I'm proud of what you're doing your thing, and I'm glad I could be a part of it.
Aw, I love you, nephew. Thank you. All praises to the Most High. Thank you for listening to today's Casual Convo. I hope it inspired you and brought you a bit closer to God. Until we chat again, remember to always speak kindly to yourself and to others. You never know what someone else is facing. Trust me, we've all got work to do. So know that I am always praying for you, and I hope you are praying for me too. May the grace and peace of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua Christ, be with us all. Amen. We'll be right back.